You are listening to Sober Gratitudes Podcast's bonus series, A Dose of Hope in Sobriety and Recovery from Alcoholism or Addiction. My name is Sarah, and I am a sober alcoholic. I created this podcast as a means to be of service to you. I'm so grateful you decided to join me today, and I pray you receive this gift of hope that a comfortable, peaceful, and fulfilling life is possible after we put down the bottle for good. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're back. If this is your first time visiting, welcome. I hope you stick around and I hope you come back. This is the last episode of 2022. And then on January 1st, it will mark 3 years that Sober Gratitudes has existed. Yes. Very exciting. So I can't not talk about New Year's and New Year's resolutions because that's where we're at right now, right? For me, right now, it's December 29th and we're creeping closer and closer to the new year. So yeah, this is the time when we're all thinking about what are we going to quit? What are we going to do more or less of? And I haven't done this ever, but I looked on the internet to see what like the most common resolutions were. It wasn't a surprise. Losing weight, exercise more, spend less time on social media, quit smoking and cut down on drinking or quit drinking altogether. So I imagine if you are listening today, you may be considering a New Year's resolution that calls for taking a break from alcohol or quitting for good. So with that, I thought I would share with you my experience giving that resolution a try. And I'm sorry, share with you how it failed. Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry to say that. But there is hope in this episode. And it's a quick one. So basically, towards the end of my drinking career, I tried to quit cold turkey. And it wasn't the first time I tried to quit cold turkey. But at this point, my drinking had really started to get, you know, in the way. It was, you know, troublesome. And I was just, I thought, okay, I need to take some control back here. So on January 1st, 2010, I woke up really hungover. I drank so much wine the night before. And I felt like shit the whole day. And then January 2nd rolled around and I still felt like shit. So by January 3rd, I started to feel better. And I thought, yeah, this is the way I need to go. Like I had like a 2-day hangover. For me, that, you know, didn't seem right. So off I went. I'm like, this is it. I'm done. I've had enough. So the first few weeks were amazing because I had a break from hangovers and being tired all the time. I just had more energy. I was starting to work out again. I was eating better. I was nicer. Unfortunately, by week 3, that pink cloud of feeling good started to wear off. So I became increasingly irritable, crabby, and moody. And I don't know how I did it, but I stayed dry for a good 4 months, but it was miserable. It was a miserable experience. And remember, I was doing this on my own. I did not seek help. I wanted to, you know, I really wanted to control this myself. I felt like that I was capable of doing it. Because, you know, I drank for most of my life and there were times where I like took a break from alcohol and I didn't really miss it. And then, you know, I didn't drink as much back when I was younger. I always drank a lot when I went out, but like, I don't know. I just didn't really think about it like I did in 2010. But, you know, during this 4-month hiatus, I started to notice I had a lot of anxiety. I was, you know, having moods. I felt depressed. I felt really, I was really uncomfortable with just how I was feeling, like physically and emotionally. And it was hard that it was so hard because I just was focusing on myself and how much I wanted to drink. So by April, I made the decision that I just had enough, and I convinced myself, you know, that I could do this in a controlled kind of way, a really controlled. So I figured that by the fact that I dried out for 4 months, it would be an awesome restart. You know, I think I had lost some weight. You know, I'm pretty sure I did. Because there is a shit ton of sugar in most alcohol. And it just fucks with your insulin, right? And then that interferes with how you, like the food that you eat and how you metabolize it. That's why it's really hard to lose weight when you're drinking, by the way. P.S. My weight has been relatively stable for the past 10 and a half years that I've been sober. And it's really easy to lose 5 pounds that I gained over the holidays. It's not like when I was drinking. Okay. So anyway, so I thought cutting back would be so easy because if I was able to do it cold turkey, then I could just do it cutting back. And I wasn't really, well, my husband knew, but I don't know how much. I remember he'd said, he's like, I don't think you can do all or nothing. But he didn't know I was an alcoholic. I think at that point I was thinking, okay, I couldn't say that word. I couldn't say it. And thinking it like made me like cringe. So I'm like, no, I gotta try because I can't imagine life without alcohol. So my plan was to allow myself 2 or 3 drinks on Fridays and Saturdays and after 5 p.m. No more starting like when the kids got home from school around 3. You know, it was 5 p.m. like or try to wait sometimes until my husband got home. I really believed this was possible. I truly was convinced that I could do it, but I could not. Within 2 weeks of this, you know, new plan of mine, I now became a daily drinker. Then, as I say, I was off to the races. And this is where I feel like my drinking took, like there was a turning point in my drinking career. Like this, it was a point of no return. So I got to a place where I really realized that I could not control my drinking and that the drinking just took me over. Drinking was controlling me and I had no off switch. So every time I would try like, okay, next week, 2 or 3 drinks. Okay. I'm going to stop on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it was impossible. So the next 2 years were hell because I didn't stop for good until 2012. In May of 2012, and I share this story often, I woke up one morning after this incredibly visceral dream where I was being drowned in alcohol, and this new thought popped in my head. And it was Google local recovery meetings. I'm like, that is really odd. Like, why am I thinking that? Because remember, like, I cringed at the thought of like saying alcoholic. and associating that with me. But I never thought that before. Like, I just don't believe it was my thought. I really feel like someone out there greater than me, greater than, you know, like all-knowing, the universe, Buddha, whatever, God, whatever you call it, I feel it was planted in my head, truly. Because I never had that thought, ever. So I did Google recovery meetings. And that evening I attended a 12-step program meeting. And I met people who had drinking experiences just like me. They were from all walks of life. They shared about what it was like for them. And I cried and cried and cried. And I did learn about the progression of addiction. And essentially, I'm going to share that with you because I don't know if people know this, but when we stop drinking, when like we quit, like I'm doing dry, and this is why dry January like just does not work if you are a true alcoholic. When we stop drinking, during that time, our alcoholism progresses like even more rapidly than if we were actually drinking. So basically, if a person stays sober for 25 years and then relapses, it will very quickly become as bad as it would have been if they had never quit drinking. So when I learned that, I kind of put it all together about my 4-month hiatus, because I really thought I'd have more control over my drinking after that break. But instead, my body, and that's what happened. That's why, like, when I said, okay, now I'm going to do this plan, I'm going to do 2 drinks on Friday, 2 or 3 on Friday, 2 or 3 on Saturday, and that's it. But my body needed more alcohol to get the same effect from before I quit. So learning about the progression of alcoholism helped me understand why it got worse and not better after I dried out for those 4 months. In order to truly get sober, I needed a fellowship of supportive sober people to guide me through the process of staying stopped. And thank God I was willing to give this solution a try. I truly feel like I am lucky, one of the luckiest, because in a lot of ways, I feel like I should be dead. But I'm not. I was given a second chance to live the kind of life that I feel so comfortable with. Even when things are hard, even when things happen, like I can't even say that, like things today happen and I just have a new design for living and responding to situations that used to I would just drink over. So I have better coping skills and my relationships have healed. I'm calmer. I have much better self-care habits. Well, I now have self-care habits. I didn't have any when I was in my addiction. So in my experience, for me, I am still sober today because I completed the 12 steps and I weave them into my daily life. And the longer I stay sober, living those steps every single day, the more my life improves. And the more my life improves, the more I want to stay sober. So I'm just going to wrap this up by reading you the Internet Dictionary definition of alcoholism. It is the inability to control drinking due to both a physical and emotional dependence on alcohol. Symptoms include a strong need or urge to use alcohol. Those with alcohol use disorder may have problems controlling their drinking, continue to use alcohol even when it causes problems, or have withdrawal symptoms when they rapidly decrease or stop drinking. So, my friends, if you feel that you may have alcoholism or AUD, I strongly encourage you to reach out for help because it's really, really hard to do it on your own. And I know this because I tried it countless times. Some people can do it. The people I've met in the past 10 and a half years, we all kind of have the same experience. We all needed help. And it's never too late to get the support you need to live a happy, sober life. And then once you get to a place where you're recovered, you get to help other people. Even before, like, you can start helping people right away. I remember on day three, I was consoling the person who came in on day one, saying, I got through day one. You can do it too. You are listening to this episode for a reason, and only you know exactly why. And I'm really glad you decided to listen today. And I want you to know that you matter. You are so important. You are worthy of a comfortable life in sobriety. And there is a solution to this problem. So please go to the show notes for resources, for help, or visit my website, or email me at sobergratitudes@gmail.com. Happy New Year, everyone, and see you in 2023. Bye. I'm so glad you decided to join me today for another Dose of Hope and Sobriety. I hope what I shared offered some value to you because you are an important person and your life matters. If a calmer and more comfortable life in sobriety is something that you want, please be sure to subscribe to my podcast, Sober Gratitudes. I hope you have a wonderful day and look forward to meeting with you next time. Bye.